This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Welcome to the Little Did I Know podcast, where we explore the incredible stories of transformation and resilience. I'm Christopher.
And I'm Angela. Today we have a very special episode as we dive into the upcoming release of Little Did I Know, From Shadows to Light, My Story by David Little. David, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
David, your story is one of profound transformation, and we're excited to share it with our listeners. Let's start with the beginning. Can you tell us about the miracle of the little triplets?
Absolutely. I was born on November 6, 1965 in Cohoes, New York as the youngest of a set of triplets. My parents, Eleanor and Eugene Little, were surprised by the birth of more than one child. My mother often recounted how my dad nearly passed out in the waiting room when the doctor announced there was a second and then a third child. Our birth was nothing short of a miracle, especially considering my mother's struggles during her pregnancy.
That's incredible. Growing up as a triplet must have been quite an experience. What are some of your earliest memories?
I have many vivid memories from my preschool years. One of the most memorable is watching the televised moon landing with my family in 1969. We gathered around a small television set, and the excitement in our cramped living room was palpable. I also remember playing with my sisters and getting into mischief, like the time we climbed on the sink counter and got into the medicine cabinet.
It sounds like you had quite an adventurous childhood. You mentioned in your book that you had some challenging experiences as well. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, my childhood was a mix of joy and challenges. I struggled to interact with other children in kindergarten and felt awkward about my gender identity. I was most comfortable around girls, which led to some teasing and bullying from the boys in the neighborhood. My early years were also marked by some haunting memories and unexplained events that I later had to process and heal from.
It's clear that your early experiences shaped who you are today. Let's talk about your teenage years. How did you navigate the challenges of adolescence?
My teenage years were turbulent, to say the least. I often found myself in fistfights with other kids in the neighborhood. My brother Bill taught me never to run from a fight, and I relied on my best friend Gordon to defend me. We had our share of mischief, like the time we stole a six-pack of beer from a delivery truck. My mother always seemed to know when I was up to no good, thanks to my uncles and siblings who kept an eye on me.
It sounds like you had quite a reputation in the neighborhood. How did your family dynamics influence your upbringing?
My family dynamics played a significant role in my upbringing. My mother was the authority figure in the house, and my dad was very quiet and passive. My grandmother, Nana, was my confidant and mentor. She and I had in-depth conversations about things that my parents couldn't or wouldn't discuss. Nana's influence helped me navigate the challenges of growing up in a strict and religious household.
Speaking of religion, you mentioned that your family started attending a new church when you were in third grade. How did that change your life?
When my mother became dissatisfied with our previous church, she decided to start the First Baptist Church of Cohoes in our living room. This heightened my involvement in church activities and increased my mother's authority and control. Eventually, we started attending Loudonville Community Church, which was a significant change for me. It helped improve my relationship with my mother, and I enjoyed participating in church activities like the Christian Service Brigade.
The Christian Service Brigade sounds like it was an important part of your life. Can you tell us more about that?
Absolutely. The Christian Service Brigade, specifically the Stockade program, was a highlight of my church experience. It provided a structured environment where I could learn about Christian values, develop leadership skills, and build strong relationships with my peers and mentors. Unlike school, where I was often bullied, Stockade was a place where I felt like I belonged.
It's wonderful to hear that you found solace in Stockade. Let's fast forward to the summer of 1973. What was that time like for you?
The summer of 1973 was a time of discovery and excitement, especially when it came to music. I was surrounded by the sounds of rock and roll, thanks to my siblings and the teenagers in the park. Songs like Freebird by Lynyrd Skynyrd and Dream On by Aerosmith were the soundtrack to my childhood. It was also a time of significant changes in my family, with my sister Sharon moving out and my brother Bill enlisting in the army.
Music has a way of bringing back memories. As you transitioned into adulthood, what were some of the pivotal moments in your life?
One of the pivotal moments was transferring from the Army Reserve to the New York Army National Guard and getting a job at Key Bank. I became very socially active and started dating and clubbing on the weekends. I had some interesting experiences, like the time I was sued by a girlfriend for the cost of roadside service and a new tire. Another memorable moment was attending a Halloween party where I ended up in a confrontation and had to make a quick escape.
It sounds like you had quite an eventful time. How did you eventually find your path to the Navy?
I was feeling bored and unchallenged, and my grandmother suggested I get into computers. I pursued another enlistment with the Army, but they only offered administrative roles, so I walked into the Navy recruiting office and asked about computer jobs. I was offered two positions, Interior Communications and Gas Turbine Systems Technician Electrical, GSE. I chose the latter and enlisted in August of 87.
Boot camp must have been quite an experience. What was it like for you?
Boot camp at Great Lakes Naval Training Command was intense and transformative. I served as the recruit chief petty officer for Company 337, leading the company and maintaining order. It was a demanding role, but it taught me valuable lessons in leadership, communication, and teamwork. The camaraderie among the recruits was incredible, and we supported each other through the tough times.
After boot camp, you attended A School for Gas Turbine Systems Technician Electrical. What was that experience like?
A School was challenging and rewarding. I was assigned as the platoon leader for the 3rd Platoon in Barracks 22, responsible for marching the entire barracks group to and from the engineering schoolhouse. The training was intense, but the sense of community and teamwork made it worthwhile. It was during this time that I met Kathy, who would later become my wife.
Kathy played a significant role in your life. Can you tell us about your relationship with her?
Kathy and I met one weekend night in late January. We hit it off immediately, and after a few dates, we got serious. We spent every weekend together, and before long, we were expecting a child. We got married on July 2nd and spent our honeymoon in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. It was a wonderful time, but tragically, Kathy and our unborn son were killed in a car accident. It was a devastating loss that forever changed me.
I'm so sorry for your loss, David. How did you cope with such a tragedy?
I threw myself into my work as a coping mechanism. I overachieved and became well-trained and qualified in my duties as an engineering watchstander and technician. I stood watch in the central control station and served as the number one investigator for general quarters battle stations. The captain and senior officers took a liking to me because of my calm and composed demeanor, even in the most stressful situations.
Your resilience is truly inspiring. As we wrap up this episode, what message would you like to leave with our listeners?
Life is a journey filled with trials and triumphs. It's important to embrace every moment, learn from our experiences, and find strength in our resilience. My story is a testament to the enduring spirit and the power of transformation. I hope it inspires others to navigate their own journeys with courage and determination.
Thank you, David, for sharing your incredible story with us. We look forward to the release of your book, Little Did I Know, From Shadows to Light, My Story.
Thank you for joining us on this special episode of the Little Did I Know podcast. Stay tuned for more incredible stories of transformation and resilience.
Until next time, take care and keep exploring the light within.